As we come to God's word this morning, let's first pray. Let's pray. Our gracious God and our heavenly Father, our prayer this morning is, as we do approach your word, that in your word we would see Christ. We desire to see Christ. We need to see Christ. We desire to hear from Christ in his words, in the scriptures. We need to hear from Christ, from his words, from the scriptures. Father, we pray to that end as we turn to your word this morning. We pray that in order to do so, that you might remove all that might hinder us from seeing Christ, from hearing Christ, and that as we come to your word this morning, that you would, by your Spirit and through your word, transform us, change us, grow us further into the image of Jesus Christ. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Praise can be a slippery thing. Praise, when it comes to praise that is directed by men, by people, to people, and received by men, received by people, praise at this level can be a slippery thing. It can be a slippery thing, as I say, because it can be misused. It can be a slippery thing because it can be wrongly received. It can be misused because it can be directed towards people by people. It can be directed towards people for selfish reasons, perhaps. It can be flattery, merely intended so that the one who proclaims and offers up that praise, that honor, might receive something in return. It can be misused, and therefore it is slippery. It can be wrongly received, and therefore it is slippery. It can be wrongly received in the sense that we can look for it in the wrong places, from the wrong sources. And when we do receive that honor, that praise, we can make too much of it in our hearts. Praise at this level, at the human level, honor given at the human level, can be a slippery thing. Before we proceed further into such thoughts from our text this morning, you might be wondering why I'm using the word praise for your looking at your text, and that seems different from what you are reading in your text in your English versions. Your English version likely does not contain that word praise. Well, there is a word in the original that appears three times in the early verses of our text this morning, our text being once again, as we read earlier, John chapter 5, verses 41 through 47. And early on in that text, this word in the original is appearing three times and is translated three times. In some versions, you may be seeing the word glory. But I have not used and will not tend to use that word glory, for when we hear that, we might think of the glory of God. The glory of God, that innate glory, that innate display of all of his majesty, all of the weightiness of his person, that is his glory. When we hear that word and read that word here, if we are to do so, we might think in terms of God's glory, and that's not what is being referred to here. Clearly in our text this morning, as it talks in some versions about receiving glory, about seeking glory, that glory is actually perhaps better thought of as praise being offered up, or honor that is being given and received. Honor that is being sought, honor that is being given, honor that is being received. Or perhaps praise, as I say. My New King James Version does translate it as honor. And for whatever value this is, what I think, that seems to me to be a good translation. So your version may in English be saying glory, but please think of it as honor, as praise, for that would seem to be what we are talking about here in these verses. So let's move into it. And as we move into it, what we're going to see this morning is indeed that our text is talking about us receiving, us offering, us receiving, us seeking honor and praise. And where we look for that honor and praise. The text also speaks of Jesus receiving honor and praise and seeking honor and praise. And where he looks for that honor and praise. That's what the text is about this morning. Now, as we move into it, I'm going to tell you right at the outset what the main points are going to somewhat look like. We're going to make our main points by making two connections that come out of this text. Two connections. Connections between, on the one hand, receiving honor from God versus honor from man. Where we receive that honor, receiving God, honor from God, receiving honor from man, and a connection between that and love for God. That will be the first connection and the first point. The second connection and the second point will be similar. It will be a connection between receiving honor from God versus receiving honor from man, where we receive honor from, where Jesus receives honor from, and our believing in God, our believing and connecting that with our believing in God. So, honor from God, honor from man, love for God, believing in God. Two connections that we will make. So let's take a look at it, and let's see those connections, let's see those points emerge from the text as we take a look. First of all, in verses 41 and 42, the first couple of verses, is where that first connection is going to emerge. And so I've entitled this section, this subsection of our message, I've entitled it, Honor from God and Love for God. Honor from God and love for God. For Jesus first says in our text this morning, in verses 41 and 42, I do not receive honor from men, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. I do not receive honor from men, Jesus says. Why does Jesus say this? What does he mean by that when he says, I do not receive honor from men? Well, there's at least two possibilities in terms of what he's saying there and why he's saying that and what he means by that. The first possibility, A, is as follows. Is he making a condemning statement when he says that? I do not receive the honor from men that is due me. And he's speaking to the audience of those listening to him. And he's saying, you don't offer to me the honor, the praise that is due me. He could be making a condemning statement regarding them, regarding their failure. That's one possibility. A second possibility is that he is speaking of making a statement regarding where he looks for honor and praise. Where he looks for that. I do not receive honor from men. I don't go looking in the realm of men for honor. That's not where I place my value. But rather, I look elsewhere to receive honor. I look elsewhere. Is that what he's saying? Well, yes, I think he is. I think it's the latter. I think what Jesus is saying here is, I don't look to the realm of men. I don't look to you people to receive honor, to receive praise. But rather, I look elsewhere. The reason I think that I believe it's that rather than the former, rather than this condemning statement that he is speaking of, the source to which he looks for honor, for praise, that I believe it's there, the second one, for a couple of reasons. Reason number one, first of all, such an understanding of Jesus' statement here is consistent with something he said earlier, even last week, in verse 34. There he says, "Yet I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you may be saved." I do not receive testimony from man. And then down here in verse 41, "I do not receive honor from men." What was he saying last week in verse 34? "I do not receive testimony from men." Well, what he was doing last week was he was speaking of a number of witnesses, a number of places and people and sources that bear witness to him, including John the Baptist. He begins with John the Baptist and speaks of how John the Baptist testifies of him, bears witness to him. And then in verse 34, he says, yet, I do not receive testimony from man. In other words, as wonderful as John the Baptist's testimony is, I don't even need his testimony. I don't need the testimony of man. For there are others who bear testimony, bear witness to me. There are my works, my miraculous works, he goes on to talk about. And we talked about this last week. There are my miraculous works. There's the Father, my Father in heaven. God the Father bears testimony, bears witness to me, to who I am. And there's also the Scriptures bear witness to me. So John last week, follow me here, in verse 34, says, "Yet I do not receive testimony from man, in that it is not necessary." That's not the place I look for, or at least the only place I look for testimony, bearing witness to me. But rather these other ones also, and more importantly, bear witness to me. Similarly, therefore, this week, when he makes a similar statement, it makes sense that he's saying a similar sort of thing in verse 41. This time, "I do not receive honor from men." And there again, I believe he is saying, I don't need to look to men for honor, just like I don't need to look to men for bearing of witness of me, testimony of me. I don't need to look to men also for honor. Rather, I seek my honor from God. I seek His praise. I seek His honor. I seek His approval. I desire to please Him. I desire to perfectly obey Him in order that He be pleased with me, and in order that He offer up such words as He does in Scripture. God the Father says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." That is what I am seeking. That is the approval. That is the honor that I am seeking. That is what I believe Jesus is saying here in verse 41. But there's another reason why. Not only is that interpretation of verse 41 consistent with what comes earlier, it's also consistent with what comes precisely next in verse 42. Again, verse 41, first of all, "I do not receive honor from men." And then he goes on in verse 42, "But I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you." That verse 42 doesn't really make sense, at least to me it doesn't really make best sense, if we consider verse 41 to be a condemning statement of these people, that they're not offering him honor. If that was the case, if Jesus is condemning them by saying, "I don't receive honor from you that is due me," he would say something like the following: "I do not receive from men, from people, from you, the honor that is due me because," not "but," but rather "because you do not have the love of God in you." That would make sense. But Jesus does not say in verse 42, "because." Rather, he says, "but." "I do not receive honor from men, but I know you that you do not have the love of God in you." So what's he saying here? Well, it's very consistent if we understand verse 41 to be, again, Jesus making a statement about where he looks for honor, approval, and praise. Not from men, but rather from God. Then verse 42 also makes perfect sense. "I do not receive honor from men because I'm not looking there." Rather, I'm looking to God, he's saying in verse 41, for honor, for praise, for approval, because I love God the Father. Because I love God the Father, and I love him perfectly. And then he goes on in verse 42, and it's very consistent with that. But you do not love God. And therefore, the implication is, therefore, you go looking amongst yourselves for approval, for honor, for praise. So again, the understanding that we have and that I'm offering up of verse 41 is consistent with what goes before in verse 34. It's consistent with what follows in verse 42. And thus again, just so you don't miss it, what Jesus is saying here is, I don't look for honor from men, but rather from God. I desire to please him above all else. But you don't love God, so you don't look to God like I do for praise, but rather you look to men. And indeed, that's what follows in the next verses, verses 43 and 44. He talks about that pursuit amongst men for honor that comes from men rather than God. So that's what Jesus is saying in verse 41 and 42. But before we go on to those next verses, 43 and 44, let's make the first point. That first connection that I spoke of earlier, the first point. And this is a connection between receiving honor from God rather than men, honor from God, and love for God. And the connection is thus, if you're not already making it yourselves, as Jesus has made it here. If we look for praise from men, if we seek honor, if we seek approval from men rather than from God, if it's men's praise, men's approval, men's honor that we desire, that we enjoy, that we prefer, that we seek out, then the connection is, then we don't really love God. Then we don't really love God. Or to state it positively, those who do love God as Jesus does, and as Jesus does perfectly, those who do love God seek approval, seek praise, seek honor from him, not the fickle honor, the fickle praise of men. That's the first connection. That's the first point. Now we move on to the second connection and the second point. And this I've entitled Honor from God, once again, Honor from God and Believing in God. Honor from God and believing in God. And we see this in verses 43 and 44. Verse 43 and 44. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? Jesus said previously that he was sent by the Father, that he spoke the words of the Father, that he did the works that the Father had commissioned him to do, to perform. And Jesus also said last week that the Father testifies of him. And now Jesus, as it were, packages these all together and summarizes them in verse 43 by saying that I have come, in other words, in my Father's name. I've come in my Father's name. That's why he sent me. That's why I do his works. I speak his words. That's why he testifies of me. I have come in my Father's name. And yet Jesus says, you do not receive me. You do not receive me. Rather, Jesus goes on to say, nonetheless, if someone else comes, not in the Father's name, in other words, the Father never sent this one. He does not speak the Father's words. He does not do the works that the Father had commissioned him to do. that the Father doesn't testify of him. He does not come in the Father's name. He may claim to come in the Father's name, but he does not come in the Father's name. Rather, he is coming in his own name. And Jesus said, that one you do receive. That one you do receive. Jesus here likely is speaking of false Christs, false messiahs who had come before him, who came around the same time as him, and who have come after him. False Christ, false messiahs, but perhaps even more broadly, Jesus speaks here of any sort of false prophet, any sort of false messenger who may claim to come in the name of God, in the name of the Father, but really is coming in that one's own name. These false ones come proclaiming, therefore, a false message. But that message, that false message that they proclaim, is an easy message, a pleasant message, an acceptable message, even a flattering message, and therefore one that is readily received. And so Jesus says, thus you receive them, you receive their message. That was true in the Old Testament. There are false prophets in the Old Testament who said things that were merely that which the people wanted to hear. It was true in the Old Testament, in the Old Testament days. It was true in Jesus' day. And it is certainly true in our day. Give the people what they want to hear. And thus, in such cases, the messenger and the message is received. In other words, Jesus is saying, you receive honor, you receive messages, you receive honor, you receive praise, and give praise easily one to another, easily one to another. But you do not receive honor from God. And if that is the case, Jesus goes on to say in verse 44, the implication of that, and we're building up now to the connection once again and the point. If that is the case, Jesus says, if that is the realm in which you give and exchange honor and praise, if that is the case, then how can you believe, Jesus says, then how can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God, Jesus says in verse 44. And thus, as I say, we reach the second connection, the second point, the second connection. This one between honor from God and believing in God. And here's the connection. Here's the connection. The one who seeks, the one who pursues, the one who is desirous of praise from men, honor from men, cannot believe. Well, that seems like a harsh statement, Craig. Well, it's not my statement, first of all. It's Jesus' statement. You hear in Scripture, in inspired Scripture for us. But let's take a look at that. Why is that? Why is that that those who seek the honor and praise that comes in the realm of men, why is it that they, Jesus says, cannot believe? How can you believe? Jesus says. It is because they are so invested in, so desirous of that honor that exists and that is passed about, that acceptance that is passed about in the realm of men, that they have made that into an idol. They have made that into an idol for themselves. And as a result, as we saw earlier, they cannot love God. They do not love God. And as a result, now we see that in this second connection, they cannot believe in God and do not believe in God. There's the second connection. There's the second point. But also, before we move on in our text, there's also a warning that comes to us at this point from the text. And we must make this warning, for there's a warning here inferred as Jesus talks about how readily they receive these other ones who come not in the name of the Father, though they may claim that, but rather in their own name, and who deal out these false messages, these easy messages, that there is inferred there a warning for us. And that warning is as follows. Beware the easy words. Beware the flattering words. Beware the readily acceptable words. Beware the false messenger who comes in his own name. Rather, the words of truth in Scripture, rather the words of truth from Jesus' lips in Scripture, rather those words of truth may be hard words, may be a hard message, but they are the words of life, the words of life. Then we continue on as Jesus continues on in verses 45 through 47. And now Jesus addresses the thought of these hearers, these ones that he is speaking these words to, being accused before God. These ones who do not love God, these ones who cannot believe in God, because rather they're running around pursuing the honor and praise and acceptance of men. That these ones, Jesus says, are accused before God. But he goes on in verses 45 and 47 and makes that point, but also makes the point that he, Jesus, is not their accuser. Here, verses 45 through 47, the end of our text. Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. For if you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? Jesus says here that it is not him, that it is not Jesus who accuses them before the Father, before God the Father. They are accused before God the Father, but it is not Jesus, he says, that does the accusing. And indeed, throughout Scripture, we never read of Jesus in the heavenly court, as it were, acting as the accuser. Jesus acts in other ways in the heavenly court. Even just earlier in the Gospel of John, in John chapter 5, this very chapter, we read that Jesus is the judge of all. In John chapter 5, verse 22, for the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. Jesus is the judge, and we also read elsewhere in the Scriptures that Jesus also, at the same time, is the advocate of all who believe, of all who trust in him, all who are in him by faith, that Jesus is their advocate, their defense attorney, as it were, in the heavenly court. We read that elsewhere in Scripture. But indeed, we read nowhere in Scripture, including here, that Jesus is the accuser in that court. Rather, there is another who accuses, Jesus says. Now, we read elsewhere in Scripture sometimes of Satan as an accuser. For Satan is the accuser of the brethren. But that's elsewhere in Scripture. Here, the accuser, Jesus says, for these ones who are listening to him, who do not believe God, who do not love God, who do not receive him, rather, they are accused by Moses. By Moses, Jesus says here. Now, when Jesus speaks of Moses, he is speaking of the writings of Moses which accuse them. The writings of Moses, in other words, Genesis through Deuteronomy, the first five books of the Old Testament, the first five books of the Bible, or what is called the Law. The Law. The Mosaic Law, the Pentateuch, as it is sometimes called, that accuses them before God the Father. So then we ask the question, how is it that Moses, how do the writings of Moses, how does the law accuse these ones? Well, the law, first of all, accuses all of us in that the law is the standard of righteousness. Laid out by God, laid out in the law, the standard of righteousness that we must perform to, and we do not perform to. Therefore, we are all accused by the law. That is true from Scripture. But that is not what Jesus is saying here. Rather, Jesus says something else here in verses 46 and verse 47. Once again, for if you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? Jesus says here that these ones are accused by the law. The law accuses them. The law accuses them because the law, Jesus says, points to Christ, points to him, points to Christ. And though these ones who fail to love God, fail to believe in God, fail to do so because they are so busy pursuing the approval of men rather than God's approval, that though these ones actually do look to the law, they look to the law, but they fail to see what the law is saying. They fail to heed the law. They fail to believe in the one that the law is pointing them to. They fail to receive Christ. They fail to believe in him. Therefore, Jesus says, the law accuses you as a result. In conclusion, the poison of men's praise. The poison of men's praise. Encouragement and encouraging words are a wonderful thing within the body of Christ. Are a wonderful thing amongst believers. And we've all probably experienced that. I hope we have. Certainly I have here at Fellowship Baptist Church. I have known the encouragement. I have known the support of so many here at Fellowship Baptist Church. And that has been a wonderful thing. That has been a wonderful thing. Thank you. Thank you for that. But not only myself, but I see it happening amongst the body of Christ here, even in the time of pandemic. Even in these times when we can't gather together, I still see it occurring. These encouragements that are presented from one believer to another within the body of Christ here, within Fellowship Baptist Church. And that is a wonderful thing. Keep it up. Keep it up. For that's a wonderful thing. That's an important thing to be apt to be doing. And yet, our text has offered us a warning this morning that the praise of men, that the honoring of men for men, that these words of encouragement even can become a problem. I began this morning in my introduction by talking about how praise delivered within the realm of men can be a slippery thing. And our text has made that point this morning that it can even be a problem because it can be so alluring, so seductive, that men's approval, that men's praise can become a seductive, alluring thing, such that it becomes a poison to which we can be addicted. Jesus addresses that here. Jesus addresses, our text addresses, and hopefully you've seen this morning, the warning of becoming so seduced by the praise and the approval of men that we do not love God, that we do not believe in God. Jesus addresses that here in our text this morning. Jesus addresses this in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, where they're speaking of such things as fasting, as prayer, such things as charitable deeds. Jesus of those things says something like the following: do not do your charitable deeds, such things, before men, to be seen by them, in order to be seen by them, by men. For if that's what you're doing, then you only have that, the approval of men, as your reward. And you do not have any reward from your Father in heaven. But rather, Jesus says, when you do such things, when you do such deeds, do them in secret, as it were. Do them so that they are not necessarily even seen by others. And in so doing, you do not receive the approval of men, but your Father in heaven, who does see you, will reward you, even as you have done that in secret, will reward you openly. Jesus says it in the Sermon on the Mount and issues forth a warning. Jesus issues forth that warning here, that warning here in our text this morning, that such pursuit of the approval of men, the praise of men, the approval of men, can become an idol. And that instead of pursuing God, instead of seeking after His approval, instead of seeking after Him and desiring His praise, His honoring, His approval, that we seek it from men, that becomes an idol that we are thereby constructing in our lives, an idol that competes with God, an idol that ultimately replaces God in our lives. And therefore, we do not love God. We cannot believe in God, because the idol has replaced God, the idol of the approval and praise of men. Beware, therefore, our text says, the poison of pursuing the praise and approval of men. Our text warns us of that. But our text this morning, although I haven't been emphasizing this so much, presents us with something else. It presents us not only with our failings in that regard, for I think if we're honest, we see this not only in those listeners, that audience that Jesus has, but we see these failings in ourselves as well. But our text this morning not only presents us with our failings in that regard, but also with Christ's perfection in that regard. Christ's perfection in that regard. For Christ perfectly loved and perfectly loves the Father. That Christ perfectly obeyed the Father. That Christ perfectly desired only the approval of the Father, only the honor which the Father gives. And therefore, we see even in Scripture the Father saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased," the Father says of the Son. Praise be to God. Praise be to God in conclusion. Praise be to God that though we do not love the Father perfectly, that though we do not pursue perfectly His approval only, praise be to God that there is one who does. That there is one who does. And praise be to God that we might be found in Him through faith. That we might be found in Christ through faith. And that as a result, despite our failings, that by faith we might be found in Him and might not be therefore accused in the heavenly court, but rather we, like Christ, might be declared by the Father, because we are found in Him, to be beloved of the Father. Praise be to God indeed. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank You for the Son. We thank You for the Son. We thank You for His perfect obedience. We thank You for His perfect pursuit of the approval of the Father. We thank You for that, for in that, in His obedience, and as a result of His perfect obedience, that we can be found in Him by faith, and that we as a result can know salvation through Him and through faith in Him. How we thank You for that, Father. And we pray, Father, also, that we, as those who have trusted in Christ, that we might, though we fail, might increasingly pursue You, pursue the Savior, and pursue Your approval, not the fickle approval of men. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.